All rise. The Court of Appeals for the State of Nevada is now in session. The Honorable Chief Judge Bonnie Bulla presiding.
Good afternoon. Please be seated. I'm Chief Judge Bonnie Bulla of the Nevada Court of Appeals, and with me today on the bench are my colleagues, Judge Michael Gibbons and Judge Deborah Westbrook. This is the date and time set for oral argument in case number 88887 in the matter of Cronin versus Wesley Cronin et al. There are several parties to this appeal, but there are only two that will be participating in today's oral argument: appellant John Wesley Cronin and respondent Jonathan Abarabar. At council table, I believe we have attorney Paul Ray, counsel for appellant Wesley Cohen, and Carl Jorgerger. Am I saying that right, Jorger?
Actually, Your Honor, everybody in my immediate family pronounces it differently, so I'm sure that's one of the pronunciations. Yeah,
welcome to my world. counsel for respondent Abarabar. And I don't see anyone else at council table today. Each party is limited to 15 minutes of oral argument. Mr. Ray, how much time would you like to reserve for rebuttal?
I'd like to ask 3 minutes if allowed.
Very good. We will reserve 3 minutes. And Mr. Ray, you may proceed.
May it please the court. My name is Paul Ray. I represent appellant John Wesley Cronin. Appellant John asked the court to reverse the judgment for two legal reasons. First, the statutory requirements of NRS 78.175 and .180 were not met because respondent Silver Valley Land Management Company, Inc.'s corporate charter was permanently revoked. Second, because Silver Valley's director and trustee of the property did not transfer title to respondent Lynn Sumner, the deed, Silver Valley's deed, is ineffective, including Lynn Sumner's transfer to respondent Abarabar. The public record shows that Silver Valley, which owned the property, did not transfer the title to Abarabar, but there were two Silver Valley land management companies. The relevant facts are that John and Lynn, who were husband and wife, formed and owned Silver Valley in 2002, listing themselves as the initial officers and directors. Silver Valley purchased the 3821 West Basin Avenue in Pahrump, Nevada in 2002. The Nevada Secretary of State revoked Silver Valley's corporate charter in 2007. After the Secretary of State revoked Silver Valley's charter, Lynn formed a new company with the same name, Silver Valley Land Management Company, Inc. Although the new company had no interest in the property, Lynn used the new company to record a transfer of the property to herself. Lynn executed a grant bargain sale deed to respondent Abarabar in 2019, only from the new company without authority from the company which held the title. First, the court should reverse the district court for two reasons. First, the title owner, Silver Valley, did not execute the transfer. In 2019, Lynn Sumner purportedly transferred the property to Abarabar, but Silver Valley forfeited its right to transact business when its corporate charter.
Well, Mr. Ray, let me interrupt you for a moment and ask this question. What happens when a corporation that is holding real property goes defunct or becomes inactive? What happens to the property then? How does it get transferred out of that corporation?
So, and it's under NRS 78.175 that the director of the corporation has the authority, and not only the authority, I think this is important for what your owners are deciding today, has the responsibility. And that responsibility is important because as a director, the director has a fiduciary duty to the shareholders and also to the creditors. So any person dealing with that corporation can know that they're dealing with a person not only with statutory authority, but also with fiduciary duty, which is why they're given the statutory authority.
But Mr. Wesley Cronin was not a director at the time that the property was sold?
Well, there was, there actually was an admission that he was a director, and...
Can you tell me where that is in the record, please?
Yes. It is... Apologize, I'm not that quick with it. Perhaps I could bring that in the rebuttal if, I'm not to delay.
Excuse me?
Would you like me to help him out on that one?
If you have the citation.
Well, the point I was going to make, it was not part of the trial record. It was part of the discovery that never made it.
Well, we can address that in a moment. Thank
okay.
you.
So I did find it, actually. It's 1JA187, although that's probably just the, that would be the findings of fact and conclusions of law. But
Mr. Wesley Cronin did not testify at trial, correct?
Correct, that's right.
Okay, so we don't have any of his testimony that would support he had, was either a director or had an ownership interest in the property.
No testimony, that's true, but there, it was my understanding that the evidence was admitted that showed that he was named as a director in the corporate formation documents.
Maybe the formation documents, but was he a director at the time of the sale of the property to Mr. Abarabar?
He contends that he was, and there's there's just the one citation. I'm not even sure I've got the final citation on that, but I know that was from the findings and conclusions. But the other issue as to who was the directors, and maybe if we're going to talk about the directors, the two of them, the former husband and wife, John and Lynn, were directors. And the other thing that has actually happened since we filed the opening brief, as your honors know, that the Lynn did not file an answering brief. So we do ask that for simplicity's sake, one of the things we ask is that the, of course, we ask that the title be quieted, which I can summarize at the end, but there can be a confession of error found by her decision not to brief, file an answer brief.
So I have a question in terms of NRS 111-325, the bona fide purchaser for value. If we conclude that substantial evidence in the record supports the district court's finding that Mr. Abarabar was a bona fide purchaser for value, does it matter whether the corporate formalities were followed? Do your two main arguments, I mean, do they matter?
Yes, they do, because first of all, the record title is what should control, because Nevada is a race notice state. And so Mr. Abarabar had notice that the no director executed this deed. So there's no doubt that he had notice. And as you say, there's an if about whether your honors were to make a determination about being a bona fide purchaser. But the other evidence
I guess my question is, if the let's assume for the sake of argument that there is evidence in the record to support the district court's finding on that. Doesn't that trump whatever happened before? If he's a bona fide purchaser for value, does it matter whether corporate formalities were followed?
Absolutely, it does, because you've got to have the chain of title. And it would be the easiest analogy I thought of is if one of us transferred property for one of the other of us. If we don't have authority, you can say, oh, I'm a bona fide purchaser, I didn't know, or I did know, or whatever. But if it doesn't come from the person with authority, then that's why you don't have the authority.
But is there a recorded deed by Mr. Wesley Cronin with the property in his name?
No, he actually has sued the corporation, and he is seeking the reversal on behalf of the corporation.
In this appeal?
Yes.
Can you do that?
Well, that's what he did. He sued the corporation, and because the corporation would not protect his interest, And so that's what he did.
So let's go back to the formation of the corporation. The list of officers and directors that were filed after the formation documents, he is not listed as either a director, a shareholder, an officer on that list. So how did he claim ownership in the corporation?
Well, he formed the corporation with his wife, and it's true that there's no findings in the record about whether this was community property. We can draw some assumptions. Likely it was, because it was right when they were married. But the fact is, all we know is they were shareholders, and they were the original directors. And as a shareholder, he is entitled to protection of that fiduciary duty by the director, which we don't have a director looking out for his duty. And this is a matter of public record in this case, and that's why it's important, and that's why it does matter if someone says they're a bona fide purchaser, because in the record, they know they're not getting the title from the person with authority.
Was Lynn the director at the time the property was sold to Mr. Abarabar?
I believe she probably was. I actually don't know that for sure.
And directors can transfer property from defunct corporations to others, including shareholders or debt holders?
They can do it, yes.
So what facts do you have to support Mr. Wesley Cronin's position that she did not have the authority to transfer the property? What facts do we have in the record that would help support that?
Okay, she has authority as a director. What we know is she didn't use that authority. So in my example, if someone says, I could have transferred, but I didn't, then you don't have a transfer. That's the situation of the facts in this case. She did have authority as a director, but we know the only transfer she ever executed said as the second corporation, and she said it was president. So there's no doubt, either way, it wasn't with authority, the deed that she signed. And that's why you wouldn't have a bona fide purchaser.
So what facts in the record support that Mr. Abarabar was not a bona fide purchaser? Leaving the deed issue aside, what facts would have put him on inquiry notice that there was a problem with the deed?
Yes, that would be the first one, that he knows that as you said, the corporation was not, the deed was not transferred with authority. The other facts that we know is that he acquired this property. We know for a fact that he acquired it below market value, far below market value, just disproportionately.
What evidence did Mr. Wesley Cronin present at the time of trial to establish the market value at the time of purchase in 2019?
He didn't, I know he cross-examined Lynn, and she presented all the evidence that was admitted. So he didn't present any on his own, but he just used what she had presented.
Okay, what evidence was in the record as to the market value of the property in 2019?
There is an appraisal, and it's, I do have that. It was $70,000. We know that the...
Okay, that was 2024, correct?
I'm not sure about that. It was...
The question was, what was known at the time of trial?
What was known at the time of trial as to the property's value in 2019?
Well, that's what I was saying. There is a declaration of value on the last deed that Lynn had signed, and it said that the declaration of value was, she attributed $70,000 to it. There is also an appraisal that said it was $70,000. And I do have that citation.
But in 2019.
Okay, I'm looking at one that says 20. Or you're asking whether it was in 2019.
The original question from Chief Judge Bola was about what was known at the time about the property that would have put him on inquiry notice.
Well, one thing, he knows he's buying from not the corporation. He's buying from Cash House. And he's paying a 60% commission, and he's paying $10,000 as a price for property that was, the declaration of value said $70,000. And so it was just far below market, as I was mentioning. Should I?
What do we do with the fact that even the title company failed to discover the issues with the property at the time?
Well, the title company is not being blamed here, although I don't think you have to do anything. They're not a party. They didn't have any interest in the property. They paid, we know that they paid Mr. Abarabar, so he's been made whole.
So there's no relevance to the fact that if they didn't find it, why was he supposed to find it when he's just a regular person?
Not really. The title company makes mistakes often, and it doesn't change the nature of the title. It really can't.
So even though they're in the business of looking for things like that, they didn't find it. Some layperson was supposed to have found it, dealing with a corporate problem from years before.
If it's in the record, yes. I mean, anyone's responsible. Now, granted, you don't have to go do it yourself, but if your title company makes a mistake, it is going to be the buyer's problem. Not in the sense that I'm saying everyone has to be in the business of title insurance, but and that's why you buy title insurance, because if they do make a mistake, then you're made whole, which is what happened here.
But the district court made a factual finding. How do we get around that?
Which one?
About the being the bona fide purchaser.
I guess if I'm saying, I don't feel we have to get around it. I feel that there's just no title. You can be a bona fide purchaser, but if you're not getting title, you're not getting title. So I guess maybe you feel it's turning the wording around.
That's the different question. We're still trying to finish the answer to Chief Judge Bolo's question, putting the title to the side. What else was there? And that's the end of this.
Yes. So, well, there's the...
If the district court made a factual finding on that, isn't that really a factual issue, separate issue about the title, legal issue?
Yes, except our issue is the title. So if there's no title transfer for whatever, you know, rights the bona fide purchaser has as to the person they paid the money, they're not without notice, though. If that's the implication of the finding of the bona fide purchaser, then it does have to come from the record. That's our position.
Mr. Ray, we'll give you a couple minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you so much.
Sorry, you were trying to sit down and we kept you going.
Well, no, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chief Justice, fellow justices, thank you very much. Just to kind of follow up on the court's inquiry, the evidence we have, there were no shareholders in this corporation. The evidence we have was testimony from the secretary and president of the original corporation, respondent Ellen Wesley Cronin, who testified that there were no stock certificates issued, there were no bylaws created. You can find that on joint appendix page 00928 for part of her trial testimony. It's also included in the findings of facts, paragraph 35, found on joint appendix 0163. The court's correct. The director can transfer property. She wrote president instead of director down there, but that's not dispositive. And the issue is, first of all, if he's not a shareholder, all his claims fall under that in his amended complaint, fall under, he says, I'm entitled to the distribution of the property under NRS 78.175, subsection 6. And subsection 6 is very clear. Where assets are distributed, which subsection 5 provides for the director to be able to do, the assets are distributed, they must be applied to the following manner: payment of the filing fee, penalties incurred, and costs due to the state, payment of creditors of the corporation, any balance remaining to distribution among the stockholders. Well, he's not a stockholder. He's not entitled, so he can't be heard to complain if she wrote under her signature, which she's authorized to transfer the property to president instead of director. And it also, since he's not a shareholder, he can't establish any damages in this matter, because the property transferred, property sold, he's not entitled to receive anything from it. And so if she has authority to transfer the property as a director of a defunct corporation, he was never a shareholder. I kind of put this in my brief. I kind of said, you know, they got this property, I'm going to paraphrase, they got this property, he wanted to put it into a corporation for various reasons that she testified to, didn't want his name on anything, and pretty much got the corporate book, put it on the shelf, and let it collect dust. And then there was nothing done with that corporate book after that, all the way through the marriage.
Mr. Jorger, is your position that regardless of the title, potential problems with the title to the property, that Mr. Abarabar was a bona fide purchaser of value?
Yes.
So that he should have the property quieted in his favor?
Yes, Madam Justice. I do believe that even with the problems with title, albeit I don't think, again, Mr. Cronin has the right to say anything regarding the problems with the transfer of the title. Be like me complaining about a corporation out of Reno. I don't think he has any right to say he was not a shareholder, not an officer, not a director of the corporation, period. But the findings of fact were real clear. His testimony was very clear on the point. No prior knowledge of any of the issues raised during the trial. He sat through the whole trial. No conversation with Lynn Sumner or Pablo Encinas about the subject property. That's, you can find this on during the pen. I apologize.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but let me ask you this question. Why wouldn't the low purchase price of the property and the involvement of Cash House Buyer not place Mr. Abarabar on notice that there might be a defect in the title to the property that would warrant further investigation?
As he testified to, if he knew there were any kind of problems with the property, he would have never bought it. You know, last thing he wanted, he was expecting to come in, he put his notice up, which is in the record, you know, to any tenants there, hey, I'm the new owner of this property. If he had thought there were gonna be any problems with this, he would have never purchased that property. He testified to that.
Now, he did do a drive-by of the property.
That's correct.
And why was that? Why did he do that?
Well, he's local in Pahrump. It's a small town. Everything's 15 minutes away. The drive-by, just to take a look at the property, see the condition it's in. Had a lot of junk on it. It's terrible.
Was there a concern that there was a tenant on the property? Was he advised of that?
I believe the record indicates he was advised there was a tenant on the property, which is not unheard of for a tenant to be on a property when you're purchasing it. And then he did what he's supposed to do. Goes out there and he gives a notice to all the tenants, hey, I'm the new owner of the property, and that's what he did. That's one of the exhibits I had admitted into the record.
Do you know the designation of that exhibit in the record for us?
May I check?
Yes, thank you.
I apologize. Let me see. ABAA 21. It's JA 21, I apologize, not JA, I'm sorry. Our respondent supplemental appendix 2105. Notice of change of ownership of property. Notice of tenant signed by Jonathan Abarabar.
What efforts, if any, did Mr. Abarabar undertake to make sure he was obtaining clean title to the property?
According to the record, he checked with the assessor's office just to see how the chain was going. He purchased title insurance, the responsible thing to do. So they would do a title check to guarantee they could deliver in clear and marketable title. Spend extra money on that, obviously out of his own pocket to do that. So he checked with the assessor's office and also paid for title insurance to make sure that he was going to get clear and marketable title.
And he actually purchased the property directly from Lynn Sumner, I believe.
That is correct.
Is there any evidence in the record suggesting that the property had been appraised at $70,000 and at the time of trial or provided to the trial court before it issued its
decision? No, Your Honor, Madam Justice. That appraisal that was referenced by appellant's counsel was provided after the trial when we were arguing over a stay issue regarding how much of a bond should be set. That was in, I believe it was 2024 is when that occurred.
Was there an appraisal in the record presented to the court at the time of trial?
No, there was not. I can tell you that for sure.
So was there anything showing the value of the property from 2019?
No, there was not.
Okay. And you said the drive-by would have revealed a property that looked like it was in bad condition?
Yes. I lived there for 23 years. I can talk about my town. So, yes. Yes, double wides, cut in half, junk laying all over the place. Yes, it was definitely a bad condition.
Does that mean to the point where somebody would just want be happy to get rid of it, have it taken off their hands?
Well, it comes to the point where somebody who's buying is going to have to pay the money to get all that junk off of there, which occurs in my town. I'll call it my town now. Yeah.
Is there anything further that you'd like to add?
Just real briefly. Just again, if you, again, as been established, the director can transfer property. She did so. She did transfer property. So whether it says on the bottom of it says president or says director, she still was the director. She still is director to this day. And she's never been removed as a director of that company. Company's still in default. Company's still revoked. Again, all his causes of action talk about he's damaged because as sole shareholder, he should have received the real property pursuant to 78.1756. Established he's not a shareholder. There are no stock certificates issued. Second cause of action, same thing, fraud. He's unable to recover the subject in his own prayer, his own cause of action. He states he's unable to recover the subject property of Silver Valley sole shareholder. That's JA0030, lines 1 and 2. Prior prayer was JA0029, lines 4 to 5. Third cause of action, fraud again, claims attempted to fraud appellant of his interest in the subject property. He had no interest in the subject property. Fourth cause of action, quiet title. Again, he's not asking to have title quiet in the name of the corporation. He's asking to have quiet into his name. I kind of wrote in my brief, and it was kind of like, you know, hey, you know, you made some mistakes, and now I get to keep all the property. Fifth cause of action, claimant should be declared true owner as pursuant to 78.15756. That's on JA0032, not a stockholder. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Ray, we will give you 2 additional minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you so much. So, and then to return back to the issue about the notice that Mr. Barbara had, besides the price, and it's in the declarations of value. Unfortunately, I did not have that with me. The other thing to know about Mr. Barbara is he is a real estate agent, so he knows how to do a transaction like this. He knows, as we found out, to have a title report, which is, of course, a responsible thing to do, and not only a title report, but a title policy so that he's insured. And so basically, what we can see is that it's a question of if he's going to get a windfall. And if he does not, if he didn't get the title from the person who had the authority to transfer the title, which is the case here, then he under the race notice rules of Nevada, he doesn't get the title. The one thing I want to clarify too about our request for the relief, we do ask for a reversal for the declaratory judgment quieting the title in the director of the corporation. And if that is that, originally the way I wrote my brief, I thought it might be Lynn, because there was an issue about, is it between Lynn and John, how does that work? And so I just said it should be remanded for that determination of any proceedings about that. And that's why I brought up that since Lynn didn't file an answering brief, that can be treated, which we request, as a confession of error so that they didn't have to have that dispute between Lynn and John.
But if Mr. Wesley Cronin is not a shareholder of the corporation at the time it is sold, The property is sold, transferred from the corporation and sold to Mr. Abarabar. Then where is his ownership interest?
No, he, it's my understanding he is a shareholder. I would agree, if he's not a shareholder, then I don't know where he would get it. Okay. Only because he's a shareholder.
Wouldn't he have needed to testify to that? Wouldn't there need to be some evidence in the record at the time of trial indicating that he is or was a shareholder?
Well, there is a finding that said that he was one of the original owners of the corporation. And so I believe that the most logical meaning of that is that he's a shareholder. There's no evidence that anyone bought his shares. So I don't think there's a reasonable inference to the contrary.
There was no evidence that any shares were ever issued.
True, but there's a finding by the district court that he was a shareholder.
Didn't he give his interest to Lynn? Ms. Sumner?
No, maybe you're talking about the finding that talked about that they were agreeing that they could transfer the property? Is that the one you're talking about?
Well, earlier, I thought he had, maybe it was orally given to her.
There is a finding about that, and it's pretty vague, but it doesn't say that the if she was given the authority, she didn't use the authority, and even that implies that he must have been a shareholder for that to happen, or why would he be giving her any authority, either a shareholder or a director?
Why was he paying rent?
There's not a clear record about how the rent worked. He was the only one in the house, I know that. So it's owned by a corporation, and that's between the husband and wife, and I don't know all the details of that.
So maybe he should have paid the rent to himself then if he was the shareholder.
Well, actually, or if it's a reduced rate, so there's not much information about that. So I would submit that that's not determinative, but I understand that it is relevant that it was of notice that he was there, and thank you for your consideration. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ray. And thank you, counsel, to both of you for your excellent arguments and insights into the issues before us. We value your participation in today's argument and deeply appreciate the attorneys who participate in the pro bono program and your willingness to serve Nevadans who need legal representation and who otherwise would not have access to it. Do you want to add?
And thank you, Mr. Ray, not only leading the pro bono, but now participating and leading by example by taking cases. And you've been here before on the pro bono, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very good. This matter will remain under submission, and this court will issue a decision in the near future.
Thank you, Chief Judge. Thank you.
All right. The Court of Appeals stands in adjournment until the next scheduled oral argument.